welcome to the Grace Hour, the Grace Hour show, Christian podcast. We're taking a look at things that help us with our faith, the holy faith, the faith of the Son of God, that we learn from the scriptures and in body life and church life. And we've been talking about vision this week, a variety of angles at what that means to have a vision for your life. And we're dropping into a passage in Habakkuk, which is kind of interesting. You know that book, Habakkuk? It's right after Nahum. It's one of the minor, as they call, minor prophets. We're going to talk about that. And my name is Pastor Steve Androlonis with Greater Grace Church in Baltimore. And with me today is our senior pastor here, senior elder pastor Tom Schaller, and he's going to be saying a lot of things, I hope, about this passage in Habakkuk. The book is interesting. It's a short book, three chapters, very timely book for the days that we're living in. And this is a man that was, you know, in tune with who God was. He had some contemporaries that he might have been able to fellowship with. Maybe he knew Jeremiah. This seems to be happening around the year 600 when Babylon is starting to exercise its rule and its reign in this part of the world, the Middle East. And Israel is under judgment because of its disobedience. And one part of the 10 tribes, the northern kingdom of Israel, has already been assimilated into Assyria. And now Judah, Benjamin, made up of Benjamin, Judah, and the Levites, are about to be facing judgment. And Jerusalem in particular, the temple, also is going to be, at some point in the history, is going to suffer damage. And so we're in this point of trouble here. So I think I'll read it, Pastor Schaller, and then maybe you could have some introductory comments here. We're talking about this passage here in Habakkuk, where it says, where he's instructed, the Lord answered me and said, write the vision, make it plain upon tables, that he may run that reads it. And for the vision is yet for an appointed time. But at the end, it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. Behold, his soul, which is lifted up, is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith. Which is a power. That last thing is pretty important, right? And maybe I missed the first. I did miss the first verse. It says Habakkuk is writing in his own voice, saying here, I will stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower and will watch to see what he will say unto me and what I shall answer when I am reproved. And then the Lord answered. So I think that's a significant moment there, is that Habakkuk is serving as a watchman for the people of Israel. He's serving in his offices as the prophet. He's watching what's going on. He's ready to share what the Lord has to give him for these people, right?
Yeah. So,
I'm sorry.
What?
Did I talk too much
you're
there?
You're doing great. No,
yeah,
that's
so
great.
I'm just trying to set the historical frame of reference, maybe.
Yeah, sure.
What we have there for a prophet like this. And, we know that he had a burden. We know from the first chapter of Habakkuk that he had a burden. He was being very honest with God. He didn't understand why God was allowing the people to go through these kind of things. And now he's like, but he didn't run away. He didn't flee from his position. He's standing watch, and he wants to know what God has to say here.
What kind of things troubled him?
I think just he was wondering where God was, I think, right?
Mm-hmm.
Do you get that sense from reading the book that he was wondering, like, if God was sort of, why wasn't God making himself, his presence, like all of us, like, why aren't you answering this?
Okay.
You know, I always go back to that. What is it? Is it a Psalm 13 where David says, how long, Lord, will you forget me? It's like, it's a very, strong lamentation, very short psalm, only six verses, but a very strong lamentation. Are you going to forget me forever? And it seems like Habakkuk is like saying the same kind of thing to God, like, what are you allowing to happen to your people?
Could we say, you know, corruption, political corruption, financial abuse, people, wealthy people abusing poor people.
Enslaving them, really.
Okay,
in some way,
them.
I mean, they were, you know, they
this
were.
This is like a small country, but at the very heart of the Bible, and this country is a picture of how bad things can become in a country.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, facing evil times.
Yeah.
Like, you know.
Can you compare it to the United States?
Well, I mean, I think this book is pretty relevant right now. I mean,
yeah.
I was reading something about young people today, and, you know, there's the surface. You have all the people that are sort of acting out in their emotions, and we're seeing that play out, in particular on college campuses. But underneath that, there are young people who are going about their business. They are working. They are living like lives as families and employees, and sometimes employers. But they're looking at the political leadership of the nation and the culture, and in particular, they are feeling very forsaken or let down by the leadership politically and the leadership in the media. You know, this is like, you know, this, we don't really, the media doesn't really put that out there, but there is like, you know, why are there so preponderance of these websites where people are looking for any kind of information that they can get that sort of tells them that things are going to be okay.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And, you know, the younger people trying to raise families in this culture and in this dynamic, they're looking at the leadership options that are available to us politically, and they're crushed, they're grieving, wondering what's going to be next.
Mm-hmm.
And the same thing, like, and then, you know, they're not getting very much guidance or getting like, you know, get,
yeah,
you know,
let's say if you are some, you know, just a historian and some degree of, you know, knowledge, not anything particularly special, but you have the rise and fall of nations.
Yeah.
And Israel, you know, the Bible is from God. God wrote the Bible. He's telling us that nations rise and they fall.
Mm.
And Israel fell, you know. Israel fell first civil war, then the Assyrian captivity, and then the Babylonian captivity. Then they were scattered, the Jews are scattered around the world for 2,000 years and then came back. So they're expecting a Messiah. But like, what is a Messiah?
Mm-hmm.
By bringing in a better world, but not only for Israel, but for the whole world.
Yeah.
So this is at the heart of the Bible. The Bible message is like when a prophet says, like Amos or Micah, and here in Habakkuk, when a prophet is saying, where is the kingdom? Where is the better life? Where is justice? Where you know, I see abuse. I see, you know, broken families. I see broken the economy. I see military invasion. I see problems. So this is a theme, isn't it, in the Bible?
Can you
talk about that?
Yeah. We see that, God allows us to have volition, the power to choose, and he allows those choices to also make us victims of consequence, and we open ourselves up to that. I mean, we know that Israel was given like the oracles of God. They were given a sense of the presence of God. They were given a place in this world to be priests for him and declare like a relationship with a personal God. God gave his, revealed his name to Moses. And, you know, this was supposed to be, but in ignoring him, you know, the consequences are, you know, wrath is not God like having a hissy fit about things. It's not because he's taking offense at it. It's like he's put in place the consequences. When you choose death rather than choosing life, as Deuteronomy says, then the curses, you know, they start multiplying and mm-hmm. building up. And, you know, and this is, like you said, this is the story of the Bible is, you know, God loves people. God made people for his glory. God made people in his image. He set, you know, but he gave us also this power to speak with him and talk with him and exchange with him. And if we don't trust him, like you said it last night, right? Like at the very end of the message, you came back up the very end of the service and talked about, you know, Adam and Eve lost trust. That was, they broke, their faith was broken by the deception of the serpent, and they mistrusted what the information that God had given them about this tree. You know, and they took from it thinking that they would be something more. And really, they became something so much less, correct?
Yeah. Exactly, yeah.
And this is really the story of the Bible, as we see God has, you know, God chooses people and they break, you know, they don't exercise perfect faith. Mm-hmm. And they suffer the consequences. Sometimes those consequences can be, like in Joel, God will restore the years that the cankerworm is eaten up. That's a promise. But sometimes those consequences cannot be reversed. And the people of Judah here and Jerusalem, the city, is on, you know, on a collision course with the judgment of God.
You know, many American people, they think of the Bible as for myself, you know.
Yeah.
My Bible is going to heal me and bless me and my life. But the other side of it, this, or another part of it, is community.
Mm-hmm.
And when we talk about national entity, when we talk about Israel as a nation, China as a nation, Russia, United States as a nation, Finland, Poland, Portugal, mm-hmm. These are real countries and real communities, right? They are nations. So when we read the Bible, many times we are only looking for those things that relate to me.
Yeah.
But what we're talking about in Habakkuk is Habakkuk was burdened for his nation.
Yes.
And that he saw it going upside down. It already was bad.
Yeah.
It was already bad. So he's crying out to God. And God told him that I'm going to use Babylon, you know,
as his tool,
judgment.
As his sword.
Yeah. And Habakkuk had a problem with that. And that was, they're worse than we are.
Exactly.
You know, why are you doing that? And then he's waiting. He's waiting, like in Habakkuk 2:1-4, the very important verses that the just shall live by faith. Mm-hmm. We are like waiting for a better world. We're mm-hmm. waiting for the Messiah to come. And there will be things rectified. Everything wrong will be made right. So that's for our program. That's what we're talking about, having vision.
Yeah.
But the vision is really, in this context, really about national entity becoming healthy at the coming of the Messiah.
Yeah.
And it really doesn't come without the Messiah coming. Now, our problem in the United States is that we've had 250 years of a pretty good run without an invasion, without a foreign invasion, without famine. I don't know. I don't think we've ever had a famine.
No. Dust Bowl and the, but even that was, you know.
Regional, yeah.
Regional. And,
but I mean, our country is so big and so blessed and so on. So we don't really think about it in this context unless you have a historical reference mm-hmm. to the human race and realize that these things really do happen to nations.
Yeah.
And they do climb, they can be blessed, like the British Empire was, but it can also unravel and also collapse. And we're talking today, 20 years ago, we would have never talked about the collapse of the Western civilization. Yeah. And I'm not saying that's going to happen, but I am saying look at it.
Well, I think, yeah, I mean, and if we, you know, we're talking about vision, like God chooses people to communicate to, and this is both, you know, God is presenting, you know, Habakkuk is wondering, what am I supposed to do with this information that I have? You know, what am I supposed to do with it? Where are you? He's asking the question, like, where are you in this midst? And God is saying, well, this is why the nation is where it is. You know, it's because of the disobedience. It's because of the foolishness that it's lived in. Mm-hmm. Proverbs is so good because it just tells us, like, just, you know, the way, you know, foolishness brings disaster, mm-hmm. you know, I mean, yes, it brings disaster, and why, like, the failure to embrace wisdom really brings, like, you know, corruption into a society. And, you know, but we can, the thing, there's a personal relationship going on here. That's what I like about this, is that Habakkuk has a relationship with God. He has a personal relationship with God. He can talk strongly with God. Where are you? He can say that. And he's probably saying it with attitude. Like, where are you? What am I supposed to do with this? But I'm not going to run from who I am. And I think you're right. Like, Babylon is why? Why would you use a nation like Babylon? And this, I think, was in the consciousness of the people, because when we look at the book of Jonah, too, we see that Jonah is like, no way, no way. There's no way that I'm going to go and preach the message of mercy to the Ninevites, because I know that they might catch it. And they did catch it. And, of course, we know from Nahum that the Ninevites had a space of time where they, you know, seem to have repented and turned to God in some way, but
70 years later,
yeah, 100 years later, Jonah. After that, you know, Nineveh was wiped out, you know, yeah. And you know, you can find a spot, little spot up there in northern Iraq where it used to be, but there's nothing left there, just like Babylon, there's nothing left to it. You know, yeah, we're just wondering, like, you know, we, you know, God shed his grace on thee, America, the beautiful, that kind of thing. And now we're looking at, like, you know, who's going to tell people about this? Like, who is going to tell people about the vision? Who's going to make it plain about the vision that God has said? And who's going to tell people so that they can move in this, you know? And that's, I think that's pretty much, if you're talking about this verse in context, Habakkuk has got a vision of what God is doing. There is a, yes, there's going to be a judgment, but ultimately there's going to be a fulfillment of his purposes, which means a new heaven, a new earth, a new Jerusalem, and Jesus on the throne. And that's the vision that we, you know, that's the ultimate vision that we keep in our hearts. Mm-hmm. And that's the, you know, we are tasked as people, as people of the church, as leaders in the church, me and you, but everyone in the church is tasked with sort of to make this as plain as possible. That's what evangelism is about.
Yes.
That's what loving your neighbor is about, is like, you know what the Bible says about what God will ultimately do and the necessity of, you know, having a relationship with Christ and being born again in order to be a part of that future. Mm-hmm. And so, if we are to make the vision plain, write it like it's saying, make it big on, you know, make it big on tablets. It's very clear the language here that, you know, Habakkuk was supposed to really, like, either chisel this or paint it or some way to make it so that anyone passing by would know exactly what God is talking about and what is coming for the people of Israel, right?
Yeah. Yes, right. Yeah, absolutely correct. No question about it. When I think about it, the Lord is saying to Habakkuk he said, write the vision, make it plain upon tablets that you may run. He may run that reads it, for the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end of it, it shall speak and not lie. Now let's think about it this way, that what is it that is actually coming and that you need patience, but it will be happening. But what is it? Well, a virgin will conceive. That's like one thing that is going to be happening. But this is 600 years later, so you really need patience.
Yeah.
But that woman will have a child who will be the Messiah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so then his ministry, then his crucifixion, his resurrection. Now, 2,000 years later, you know, you really need to be patient and mm-hmm. to see the plan. The Jews, as a nation, not accepting the Messiah, being scattered around the world, being drawn back now to Israel. And now we have in the anticipation of the coming of the Messiah, right?
Right.
Yeah, the kingdom coming. So how much, you know, we're 2,600 years into this.
That's right.
And he said, it will speak and not lie. And also, though it tarries, wait for it.
Yeah.
And it will surely come. It will yeah. really come at the appointed time. And at the end, it will speak. So you and I are now having a conversation. This is very clear to us.
Yes.
Because we're born in this century. I mean, yeah. in the last century. But we're living in these times where mm-hmm. we're at the end of it.
Yeah.
We saw the coming of the Messiah. We saw the resurrection. We've seen the church. We see Koreans, Russians, every tribe, every tongue, every nation, members of the body of Christ. We anticipate the coming kingdom is going to happen. But Habakkuk is way back in history and being told
yeah.
that you know, it's going to happen.
Yeah.
But I'm going to use Babylon. Israel is going to be scattered. They're not going to be accepting the Messiah. And on the story goes. But it's very clear in our mind
yeah.
that the kingdom is coming.
Yeah. And I like it that, you know, the Bible is you know, I hesitate to say this. Like you said it earlier, like we like to pick the, like to treat the Bible as like a private
yeah.
therapy guide.
Yes.
Like we can just cherry pick. But,
yeah, right.
you know, I mean, like 70% of the Bible is like a lot of lamentation and a lot of forecasts for judgment to come. Like here
yeah.
we see,
yeah.
He's talking here in chapter 2, woe, woe, woe. But then we get to verse 14 where it says, but the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of God, of the Lord, and as the waters cover the sea. It's like, you know, the just yeah. shall live by faith. What are you supposed to put your faith in? Well, let me just tell you, whoa, 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 whoa. But it's yeah. almost like in all the lamentations that Jeremiah has, you know, he's going through those first two chapters, and then you get to the middle of the third chapter, and he says, but his mercies are new every morning, and this is what I call to mind, like, what is the faith? And I think that may be the important thing that he was supposed to write on the wall or make the vision that he was supposed to make plain. Like, you live by the faith that God puts in you. And you, again, to go back to listen to Pastor Schaller's message, ggwo.org, from last night. I don't know if it's up yet. I didn't see it there this morning. But the message you talked about, now I lost that whole thought. Whoa, that just went from me. I can't remember what you said something last night. Okay, never mind. But as the waters, you know, this the faith, the trust in the faith that we have, the faith of the Son of God, it's not our own faith and it's put into us. Ezekiel 36, that's it. We're given a heart of flesh, a new heart for the heart of stone. The Spirit is put into us so that we stand on our feet. Ezekiel's on the other end of this, right? Because Ezekiel has been taken captive and he's living with the exiles in Babylon and he's getting this vision. So Habakkuk is getting this vision to write plain to the people who are in Jerusalem and Ezekiel's getting this idea, but Ezekiel's saying, this is the relationship we have. God puts his Spirit in us. This is the faith. And how do we live in the faith that God has given to us. It's a vision for what the future will be, which is the waters cover the glory of God covering the earth as the waters cover the sea. That's a great picture.
It's got to be the kingdom of God.
Yeah.
That's the kingdom of God. How could the glory of God cover the earth like the waters cover the sea? I mean, this is a better world, a more perfect world, a better world coming, you know?
Yeah.
That's what these minor prophets, particularly those men, Joel, like they see the day of the Lord as a terrible thing and then as a very good thing.
Yeah.
Tribulation period, we know it as the tribulation period.
Yeah.
The day of the trouble of Jacob's trouble, and then the millennium.
Yeah, do you think... I think you do think like I do this, but it's just like the process of wrath has to play itself out. Like when we look at the series of judgments as they're listed through John in the Revelation, we get to those bowls and we know that those are like, they are full to the tipping point. And like, you know, I saw it this way, like there may be, You know, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil had a variety of fruit, the gray fruit, the fruit that was good to look at, and then also the dark side. And like, you know, will all of that fruit have to fall and all of those things have to be expressed, on the earth and also before the angelic realm, which is a whole thing that we don't really understand, like what God is doing to show the angels that stayed on the side of God and retained their positions as servants in his purpose, and those who are against, all of that is happening, you know, and that has sort of plays itself out, and then comes this glory, this moment of final judgment, and then all is set right, and it's the glory of God, you know?
Yeah.
And like you said, it's the terrible day of the Lord, but also the ultimate day of the Lord, when all things are as they should be forever.
Yeah, the way we understand the end, like if you call it the end, it's not the end, it's actually a transition, we can call it but as we know life today, and you need some imagination. Yeah, as a Christian, we need some imagination. You know, I want to repeat that many Christians only are stuck in like self-improvement and managing their life, and very much stuck into like the world as we know it. But have times where you use your imagination and imagine a better world where there is righteousness and judgment. And the king is a good king, perfect king, compassionate king who died for us, who is going to bring in a government and thrones as part of his kingdom. And he gives thrones. There are people that will be reigning with him. And there are thrones. And it will cover the earth, like you said. It'll be rooted in Israel. It'll come from Israel around the world, and it will be a real kingdom. So use your imagination. And when you see suffering of poor people, poverty, when you see lies in the media, you see social platforms that are filled with lies and persuasion, when you see money, manipulation, you see a lot of things that rub you the wrong way, then that should spark in you this hope for a better world. And that's the one that Christ promised us. And to be honest, I think a lot of believers only are locked into like just living a better life, a good life, and, you know, being safe and protected and wealthy and successful. Yeah. My career, my job, my money, my house, my family. But wait a minute, let's zoom out. There's a lot of suffering. Maybe you're not suffering, but there's a lot of suffering in the world. There's a lot of pain in the world. There's a lot of people in the world that live in poverty. And there's a lot of things that are wrong. And there's a lot of things that we should be broken about. Mm. And the prophet was. And he's saying, when will this happen?
Yeah. Will you forget us forever? Yeah. Huh? Yeah. Will you forget us forever? Will you, will you allow that? How could you use an evil nation and, you know, to do something like this? And I think we could say that. How could, you know, as believers in this present day, we're saying, Lord, how could you allow this kind of system to, to take over?
Well, let's think for a minute. Nazi Germany, I think it's 14 years or 13 years. Communism, 70 years.
Yeah.
Well, Babylonian Empire, 70 years. When it was done, when it did its duty with Israel, then the Persians came and took it over. It was done. Short time. So people think about the United States, 250 years or whatever, that we have been, you know, here, and it's been a really a great ride.
Yeah.
But now, do you see anything? Do you see something really wrong? Do you see that this could collapse? Do you see an economy that maybe is fragile, more fragile? Do you see government not doing its job? Do you see a lot of injustice? You see a lot of lies? You see the media. The media is a powerful tool that's being used to manipulate, unfortunately, children and families and breaking up. There's an agenda of something that's evil. So what do you want? A better world? You know, this is Habakkuk, and the Lord is saying it's coming, but not in your time frame. Not, I'm not saying 70. I'm saying that the kingdom has not yet come as I am planning it to come.
Yeah.
And it's been 2,600 years from the time of Habakkuk.
You have to read Peter, and he makes the point, you know. Well, you know, some lament, like, oh, the promise of his coming, the promise of his coming. And he said, you know that, the, you know, 1,000 days is as a day with the Lord, 1,000 years is as a day with the Lord. And so, I think, you know, this is like, I think to stay on the theme that we've had for the week, like what kind of vision are we to have in our hearts? And, you know, one, there is the faith of the Son of God that we're to live by. That's the faith. If we are just, if we are justified, if we're living in justification, it's the faith that God has given us, put in us, just like you said last night, put the Spirit in us so we can stand on our feet, cut the roots off. No more iniquity. No, the iniquity's been dealt with. It's been paid with the price at the cross. We know that his glory is coming. The last verse there is really important too of Habakkuk 2. It says, the Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth keep silence before him. It's like, I think that's another vision that you want to have about, like, yes, the glory of God will cover the earth, but right here and right now, like, you know, like you said, 2,600 years, and you know, maybe you should keep quiet about your complaints. I'm still on the throne. You know, yeah. Isaiah got the vision. Really, you know, a great and inventive and industrious, but wrong king had given Israel a real season of greatness there, and then he was gone. And then Isaiah was wondering what. What happens next? And then, that throne is empty, but my throne is still full. And the same thing, I think, is here. You know, it's coming, and the throne is going to be empty. The temple is going to be destroyed. But, you know, the throne on earth is not so important right now. It's the throne in heaven, right?
Well, that's good.
You know, and that's right. What I think the way, right. Like, it's like all these negative pictures that are portrayed, he's saying, but put this in your heart. Think on that. Put this in your heart and think of that. And then I know from the last chapter of Habakkuk, it's like a song. You know, he formulates a song to sing. And we see this, that Moses was given a song to teach the people of Israel. We know that Deborah sang a song, when that disaster, after that disaster and in that season in the Judges. And we know that David was given many songs for people to sing, personal and also about the Messiah to come. And he's getting a song here, and he's saying, you know, I'm going to rejoice in the Lord. That's the way he's saying, you know, despite everything that may go wrong with the Babylonian captivity and all of the disaster we're going to see, we still have to rejoice in the Lord, because the vision we have is for that day when there's glory. And right now, God is still on his throne. It's just not happening according to our timetable. You know, it's like we might have to write, we may have to write things later on to say, well, it seems like I'm going to be leaving this earth, but you guys, you should follow this. Like Peter and Paul both wrote letters like that, right?
Yes.
You know, to say like, okay, we thought this was going to happen in our days, but apparently it's not. So,
you know, the key phrase here is Josh shall live by faith.
Yeah.
So that's the verse the Apostle Paul pulled out of the Old Testament when he wrote his letters. He wrote Romans using it. He wrote Hebrews using it, if he did write Hebrews. And the third one was, which one?
Galatians, is it?
Galatians. Yeah. Josh shall live by faith. So he used it in three different epistles, three different contexts. But my point that I would like to bring up is that when you look at human history and you just say, where is the promise? And then the Lord says, well, if you're a just man, you can live by faith. Mm-hmm. You don't have to see it, but you believe it.
Mm-hmm.
If you are a just man, Abraham saw and he believed, but he didn't see the city on the earth. He saw the heavenly Jerusalem, or he saw the Messiah, but he saw something spiritually, Abraham, and he believed.
Yeah.
And he walked by faith. So if Abraham did way before us, that's 4,000 years ago,
and he
was okay because he lived by faith, and God gives grace to us as we live by faith. So this is our mode of operation, but it doesn't diminish the fact that we anticipate it and we want it. We anticipate the coming of the kingdom. We anticipate justice, and we really want it to happen.
That's amazing. Yeah, it is. I was reading Luke 12 this morning, and you have that verse in there. It's like, don't worry, little flock. It's the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. And, how many times has God said that to people? Like, you may not be many, you know, don't think that you're going to be an overwhelming movement. Like, it's the glory of God that covers, and God does not need to save by many. It's not by might, not by power, but by the Spirit that God will bring this glory on the earth. And, you know, again, having the imagination to see our part in the kingdom that he is going to bring to pass on the earth. We shouldn't, there's movement, there's been movements where there's been large movements and everything, but God has done a lot of his work with like a couple here and a couple there. And today, it's interesting. Today is the day that Watchman Nee passed into eternity in 1972 in a prison cell that he had been in for 20 years. And in 20 years, he only saw one person outside of the guards, his wife. That's the only person they allowed him to see. And yet, it's really kind of interesting. Like, they tried to silence him, but we have how many books by him? Somehow, his message got out. And, you know, they locked him up in 1952. He died in 1972. And, he was just one guy, but probably there's more Christians, right, in China than anywhere else in the world. They just don't let us know about it, right? They're trying to squelch this movement, but it's still there, and those people will be the ones that probably the day of rejoicing will be like really amazing for them, like, because we saw the flood, the red flood of communism and what it did and the blood it shed. And then we'll see the glory of God coming. And yeah, we weren't much, but God gave us the kingdom, right? Mm-hmm. We're not much, but God's going to give us the kingdom.
Yes.
We should take heart in that, right? And live by that faith, right?
Right. Well, we in closing, we could say, God said to Habakkuk, write the vision, make it plain on tablets. But and so he wrote the book of Habakkuk.
Yeah.
But in a sense, here is the whole Bible. This is write the vision, make it plain. It is sure. It is coming. And what is? It's like the whole. There it is. The Messiah is born in Bethlehem, you know.
Yeah.
Messiah is raised from the dead. There it is, the book of Acts, there, the book of Revelation. Make it plain. Daniel said in the latter time, seal it until the latter time. You remember that?
Yeah,
remember?
Yeah, seal it up.
They will understand it later.
Yeah.
You understand? So you and I are sitting here with millions and millions of Christians around the world who have this. He's made it plain. Mm-hmm. If you study it and read it, and you give your heart to Christ, you ask him to help you understand, he will open your hearts. And if you're a just man, you can live by faith. And if you live by faith, you will be a just man.
Yeah, that's true. Amazing. Yeah, like Proverbs 30, it says like that writer of that set of Proverbs, he's talking about the purity of the Word of God. Mm-hmm. And how to like, yeah, to live by the faith that the word can put inside you and give you, fuel the right kind of imagination. There's vain imagination, cast that down, but look into the scriptures and see, yeah, in spite of everything that's happening, see the kingdom as it's coming and rejoice in that. And that's the vision that I think Habakkuk was told to communicate to the people and who would listen, maybe not so many, but does this matter in the purpose of God? You know, God will bring his kingdom, by the little flock. Well, did we do it?
Yeah.
I think we did it. All right. Well, friends, we've been talking about the vision that we're supposed to make plain in an evil world, do it with patience, have the right perspective on what's coming, and be obedient. You know, all that was going on, the one of the key phrases at the beginning of Habakkuk 2, he was watching, he was on the tower, and be watchmen. Let's be watchful. Let's share the faith. Love our neighbors in this way. All right, friends, that's the end of the Grace Hour show for today. For Pastor Tom Schaller, I'm Pastor Steve Androlonis, Jay, who's been on the board today. And we also want to remind you that you can listen to this podcast again and again and again if you want to, YouTube, Apple, Google, Spotify, and also at gracehour.org. You can listen again and find out listen to more about this. Another program coming tomorrow. I think it's about where there is no vision, the people perish. Can't wait to hear what they have to say about that tomorrow. God bless everyone.